Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is Jorge Martin, Georgie, flying solo on this one, doing a quickie episode with some a little waiver talk, and recaps from last night. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí para servirlos. Make sure you're checking out our fantastic content on familiaffb.com, as well as our social media channels, Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb, as well as our familiaffb Facebook page. Well, we had a busy Monday night football with two games. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the New York Giants 26-16, kind of how we expected it to be. Big Ben looked a little rough there at the beginning, but he seemed to find a little bit of his rhythm, started hitting his receivers better, and finished 21-32 for 229 yards, three TDs. Two of those TDs went to Juju Smith-Schuster, who finished six for 69 yards and two touchdowns. He looked like himself, and those touchdown celebrations were fantastic. He is great when he is, you know, fully engaged and having fun and having a good time. It's a sight to see. Deontay Johnson had a couple of rough spots, muffed a punt, dropped a big pass there early in the first half, and then he found his rhythm a little bit. He had a team high 10 targets, finished with six catches for 57 yards. So he's going to be someone to really keep an eye on for the rest of the season. I really think it's going to be these two receivers primarily. James Washington will have the occasional touchdown like he did last night, though he did only get three targets for 34 yards. The tough part was James Conner. Only finished with six carries, 9 yards, went out of the game with an ankle injury. There was a point where he was used as a decoy, and you could see that he was really, really walking gingerly. And so, Familia, hey, I'm with you too. I have him on two of my teams, and one of those teams lost a nail biter on Monday Night Football that came down to Monday Night Football. So I'm feeling you. I really thought he was going to get in some games, but looks like he's going to miss some time. Benny Snell is going to be, we're going to talk about him a little bit on waivers, but he finished with 19 carries for 113 yards. He's going to be someone to definitely keep an eye on the waiver wire and on your fab. Over on the Giants side, it was rough sledding for Saquon Barkley. 15 rush attempts, 6 yards. Eso duele. Eso duele. He did kind of salvage the day with 6 receptions on 9 targets for 60 yards. I mean, it's kind of what we expected. I mean, he did not have a lot of time, a lot of room to run. The offensive line did not do a good job of keeping the Pittsburgh Steelers defense out of there, especially Bud Dupree. It seemed like he was in the backfield all day long. So it was a tough one. Do not fret. Saquon is going to be good. It's just, this is a tough spot. I mean, I mentioned this earlier. I mean, this is why I liked Ezekiel Elliott over Saquon, was because of that early season schedule and the offensive line issues. So tough one. Danny Dimes, when he did have some time, he threw some nice passes, finished with 279 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He did get 2 interceptions, got sacked 3 times, so showed off a little bit with the legs, finished with 22 yards rushing. Shows you the potential, but again, it's such a tough schedule to start for them. You look down on the receiving side, Darius Slayton got 6 catches on 9 targets for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. So many people were talking about how the receptions were going to get divvied up. Golden Tate being out of the game kind of helped funnel things to him and Sterling Shepard, who caught all 6 of his targets for 47 yards, no touchdowns. Evan Engram, only 2 receptions for 9 yards. I mean, this just, I don't think you chalk so much on this one as just the fact that the Pittsburgh defense was fantastic. So they were just great. Going over to the later game, Tennessee, I mean, it was kind of a little bit of a snooze fest. Steven Gostkowski, you got to figure he has a little extra rope, considering that he and Mike Vrabel, head coach, were teammates in New England. But missing all those field goals, missing 3 field goals, missing an extra point. But he made the one that counted, that ended up making it a 16-14 victory for the Titans. Ryan Tannehill had a really nice game for himself, 29 of 43 for 249 yards and two touchdowns. One of them went to Jonnu Smith. The other one went to Mykole Pruitt. A.J. Brown caught 5 of 8 balls for 39 yards. Decent game. He did look like he whiffed on a catchable ball there at the end. I mean, it would have been a spectacular catch if he would have made the catch. So I'm not gonna say that he had to catch that. But you know, for AJ Brown owners, which I do have him on a couple of my teams, that one kind of hurt us a little bit. Corey Davis making a bigger comeback than Lazarus, 7 of 8, catching 7 of 8 targets for 101 yards. So don't jump too high right now, but we're going to talk about him a little bit on waiver wire a little bit later in this episode. Derrick Henry finished, I mean, he just was battering around, 31 rushing attempts for 116 yards. The Denver defense definitely made him work for it a little bit. Definitely a tough game for him, but again, he just churned out his 116 yards and was really good. Jonnu Smith, as I mentioned, caught the touchdown. He finished with 4 receptions for 36 yards. Someone to keep in mind on. He really showed his athleticism with yards after the catch there. Drew Locke over on the Denver side finished 22 of 33 for 216 yards. He really showed his arm. He showed some playmaking ability. His receivers didn't always help him out. Jerry Jeudy, the rookie, made a couple of drops. He did show the talent on a couple of his catches. And you know, the Monday Night Football crew definitely focused in on his route running skills. And he was just really, really good there and made some defenders, faked out some defenders there on the Titans side. So he's good. Noah Fant, 5 of 6, 81 receiving yards, 1 touchdown, no receptions after halftime. I know that ended up costing me a corazón roto on the Estadio Fantasy Bowl. So I'll be talking about that with the folks on La Cueva del Fan. So again, definitely some good things to keep an eye on there. And we're just gonna look at these games are just some rough patches. The second game was a little more rough than the other. The defenses were a little bit better. Definitely the Pittsburgh defense was fantastic. But yeah, that's week one completely in the books. We got some injury news. Some starting off with Michael Thomas over in New Orleans, high ankle sprain. This is something. He sustained it late in the game when the game wasn't really gone, but it's not like they were doing kneel downs. So that's a tough one because someone just rolled up on his ankle. He thinks he could play through it. To me, it's worrisome. When I hear high ankle sprain, I'm thinking a month to 6 weeks before a guy is completely healthy. So, if you're definitely keep an eye on Emmanuel Sanders, or Tre'Quan Smith. Tre'Quan Smith is definitely available in a lot of leagues right now. They are playing on Monday Night Football, so this is going to go down to the wire. Definitely have backup plans in case Michael Thomas can't play. There's hope that Miles Sanders is going to be able to play this week against the Rams. We got to watch this during the week because obviously it was only on Saturday that it was really considered that he might not be able to play at all. One tough one, George Kittle. He's playing a knee sprain, and the 49ers are quote-unquote letting it play out, which to me says they think he's not going to play, but they're hoping to get him back by game time on Sunday. That's a tough one. I mean, one of the truly, truly elite players in the game. The 49ers, their pass catchers have just been decimated by injuries. I mean, if Kittle is out, Jordan Reed, is he going to make a resurgence? The wide receivers are just, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you need someone like Brandon Ayuk, who was inactive last week, possibly to play in that game. So you just don't know. This is definitely a situation, a ponerlo a la mira, as we like to say. Blake Jarwin, another tough one, out for the season, torn ACL. There's Dalton Schultz as his backup, but there might be some better options out there if you want to just keep an eye on Schultz for a week or two. Over in Indy, Marlon Mack tore his Achilles during the game. And you kind of looked at it, and there was rumors that during late in the day that might be the case. Well, it was confirmed, and right away, head coach Frank Reich said that Jonathan Taylor is already declared the starter moving forward. So Nyheim Hines is going to get some play. We're going to talk about him in a second, but tough one, tough injury, because Marlon Mack, he does not. He's a free agent next season in a running back market that is going to be flooded. So I wish you good luck and safe recovery, and hopefully someone picks you up next year. Le'Veon Bell has a hamstring injury, and Coach Adam Gase said he could be out a couple of weeks. So apparently he put him back into the game when he was already dinged up and aggravated and made it worse. So Frank Gore, grab him on waiver wires if you can. The ageless wonder, he's going to be there. Josh Adams did steal a running back carry at the goal line, a touchdown. So this is going to be a mess. I mean, another reason to just kind of avoid the Jets' offense. It's this is tough. I mean, Sam, I had such high hopes for Sam Darnold coming into the season. So yo no sé. Last item on the injuries, David Njoku placed on IR with a knee injury, so he's going to be out at least 3 weeks. Maybe that's going to be more time, more pass catches for Austin Hooper. Hopefully the Cleveland Browns just get their offense a little bit more in order coming forward. So that's it on the injury wire. Let's go over to Los Waivers, and starting off with our streamer of the week, Ryan Tannehill, coming off of, as we mentioned, the 249 yards and two touchdowns opening week. He's got the Jacksonville defense, who and he torched them for 259 passing yards and then an additional 40 yards and two passing and two rushing touchdowns each. So look at him. He's only 45% owned in Yahoo leagues. Grab him if you can. He's got a great matchup there. A couple other guys who are facing off this weekend, who are good waiver wire picks if you're looking at streamers, Kirk Cousins and Philip Rivers. The game is going to be in Indianapolis. Both pass defenses did not show up very well in week one. So these two quarterbacks could be throwing it a bunch. Because actually both run defenses are pretty good. So, Kirk Cousins is owned in 34% of leagues. Philip Rivers owned in 27% of leagues. So grab them up. Minshew Mania, one of the last two. He's only 26% owned. He was 19-20. Three touchdowns. Granted, he only threw for 173 yards, but he did have a good game against the Titan D last year. So, he went 20 to 30 for 204 yards and two touchdowns against the Titans. So, he's playing for his job. So 26% owned, something to keep an eye on. And, the Mitch Trubisky, he's owned 4%, but mírame, two QB and super flex leagues. You could do worse. He's playing the Giants, and we saw what Big Ben did to the Giants defense yesterday. Yeah, Trubisky did. It did look ugly at times, but even when he was great, when he was having great times, it looked ugly. So he got the three touchdowns last week. That Giants defense is beatable. I would fire up. If you don't grab Trubisky, definitely make sure you're firing up Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller this week. Let's go to the running backs. Mention a little bit about Benny Snell. He is the guy to spend your fab on. He's only owned in 18%. Now, he does have a somewhat tough matchup. As we mentioned, Denver did give a tough time to Derrick Henry last week. But if it's, it's really looking like James Conner is going to miss some time. So at least 1 week. And we saw what Conner did, 19 carries for 113 yards against the Giants. Denver's going to be a little bit more formidable. This game is going to be in Pittsburgh. So and keep an eye on the fact that Pittsburgh's offensive line did suffer a couple of injuries. But Pittsburgh is often, they've got linemen coming out of their ears. So definitely look for Snell to be a guy to pick up. I mean, he's only 18% owned right now. And the ageless wonder, Adrian Peterson, owned 46% of leagues. I mean, who would have thought that on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, he gets signed by the Lions, and a week later he gets for 14 carries for 93 yards. This backfield is a little bit messy right now. DeAndre Swift did get some good time, some crucial plays, including the what could have been a walk-off TD with 6 seconds left that he dropped at the end, at the goal line. So, but you know, Peterson, you could be doing a lot worse than grabbing Peterson and stashing him on your bench. Where you could be doing better is actually Malcolm Brown. He's owned on 28% of teams. Right now, you know, in looking at the game, I got to watch that game because it was the only game on Sunday night. And me being a Ram fan, I was someone who has Cam Akers on a couple of teams. I looked at Malcolm Brown and I was like, this guy looks like the starting running back right now. Akers did have his moments, but Brown was running hard. He got 18 carries for 79 yards. He was even involved in the passing game with 31 receiving yards. He got two total TDs. He's only owned in 28%. Now, he is going against that tough Philadelphia defense, so he is someone you're going to want to spend some money on in your FAB budget or user waiver wire pick on. Another guy to keep an eye on, possibly as a stash, but someone with that we've been keeping an eye on a lot on the Familia side, Joshua Kelly. He's owned in 14% of leagues. He got 12 carries for 60 yards. Kind of filling in that Melvin Gordon role, he really seemed to run the ball with authority. Definitely ran the ball much better than Justin Jackson, who was really shut down and is battling an injury right now. So this could be kind of a little bit of a timeshare. Austin Eckler is still going to get his carries and his overall targets, but Joshua Kelly, he could be getting, I mean, this 12 carries and 60 yards could be looking like something that he does on a weekly basis, 10 to 15 touches on a week, and that you could do a lot worse. And he's 14% owned. Go use some FAB budget on him. Another guy who's going to be a little bit to keep an eye on, Nyheim Hines, only owned in 22%. Now, we mentioned a little bit earlier about Marlon Mack, and you look at the fact that the way Hines was used, he caught eight balls, all eight of his targets for 45 yards and a touchdown. He also caught, he also ran seven times for 28 yards and a touchdown. He got four red zone attempts on Sunday, and Jonathan Taylor got two. So Minnesota, a little bit tougher on the run than it gets the pass. But again, Hines is someone who could get that kind of like dual threat role out of the backfield and be pretty good. So keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on Peyton Barber. He did get 17 carries. He out-touched Antonio Gibson, who only got 11 touches. So definitely he's a guy to keep an eye on. Maybe stash. We still think that Antonio Gibson is going to take a lot of carries. But again, when a guy gets 17 carries, that has to make you sit up and take notice. Let's go to the wide receivers. And start off with Green Bay. Couple of wide receivers, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Alan Lazard. Marquez Valdez. I mean, he's got to have some Latino in him with those names as part of his name. But he's owned in 9% of leagues, and he caught four passes on six targets for 96 yards and a touchdown. Alan Lazard also got caught all four of his catches, all of his targets for 63 yards and a touchdown. So Davante Adams definitely had himself a game, but you know, these two guys are gonna get some time. And this week, the Packers are playing Detroit, who just gave up three touchdown passes to Mitchell Trubisky. You think Aaron Rodgers isn't licking his chops right now? If you need a flex play because of injuries, this is someone you keep an eye on. Paris Campbell's another guy. He got six receptions for 71 yards. He also got one carry for 9 yards. He's owned in 23% of leagues, and again, he's playing that Minnesota defense that really got torched by Aaron Rodgers last week. Paris Campbell, he's got to be a guy to own. He definitely showed that playmaking ability that he had before. Another guy to put on the meat eye, even though he's got a tough matchup, Preston Williams. The Dolphins are hosting the Buffalo Bills this week. Williams is owned 38% of leagues. He did not have a great game against the Patriots. He caught 2 balls and 7 targets for 41 yards and 0 TDs. But the fact is, Devontae Parker is rehabbing a hamstring injury. So there is the possibility that if he sits out, Preston Williams could become the wide receiver one. Mike Gesicki is still someone who's going to be getting some targets, but again, Williams is going to be someone to keep an eye on. A couple other guys that we're going to talk about. Robbie Anderson. He did catch a 75-yard ball where he just kind of, half of that was yards after the catch. He ended up with 6 receptions, 115 yards, and 1 touchdown. He does get that tougher Tampa Bay defense that had a resurgent game against the Saints last week. But Anderson is someone worth owning because those Carolina Panthers are going to be throwing a lot. And last two to talk about, Russell Gage. He's only owned in 2% of leagues, and he's a guy who went for 9 catches and 12 targets for 114 yards. This Atlanta defense is going to throw all over the place. Their offense is going to throw all over the place. Matty Ice is going to throw plenty. The defense is not very good, so they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. Gage is definitely worth a bench stash to see if this is for real, if they are going to be able to sustain three receivers who could catch, who can get 1,000 yards. But he's a tough one to keep off your bench. There's some guys like Brian Edwards who I would look at dropping right now because of the fact that they've got just some hellacious next 4 games before they have their bye. And Tre'Quan Smith, we mentioned Michael Thomas. He's worth a bench stash if you're worried that Thomas could be someone who gets ruled inactive on Monday Night Football and you don't have anybody to keep an eye on. So for you Blake Jarwin folks, I got 3 names for you. Eric Ebron. He's owned in 41% of leagues. Now he's going up against the Denver defense that Jonnu Smith had a pretty good game against. Ebron only caught 1 ball last week for 18 yards, but the fact is that Big Ben is throwing short, so Ebron is a guy to keep an eye on. Jack Doyle, we know about Phillip Rivers' penchant for throwing to the tight end. So Minnesota defense, again, their DBs were not very good. Doyle did catch 3 balls for 49 yards last week. And he's owned in 26% of leagues. So someone to maybe grab. Last one to talk about is O.J. Howard. He's got the Carolina soft defense, and he's only owned in 18% of leagues. He did catch 4 balls and 6 targets for 36 yards and a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski got more snaps, but the fact is that Howard, Tom Brady has been looking for him, and Tom Brady definitely mentored him a lot in training camp. Peter King pointed that out. So this is you might be able to catch him on the upswing a little bit this year, and especially if you lost Jarwin and you don't already have a backup on your roster, this is a guy to keep an eye on. A couple of defense and kicker. We just got one to keep an eye on each. Cleveland. They're only owned in 9% of leagues, but they're going after looking at that Cincinnati offensive line. I think Myles Garrett is just licking his chops, thinking about what he can do to that. What he can do going into that backfield, and maybe getting a few sacks on Joe Burrow. So Cleveland is going to be good. Their defensive secondary got a little dinged up, but they still have Denzel Ward, who will probably more than likely be on AJ Green. So, but yeah, Cleveland is definitely a defense to keep an eye on. They got to be better. And on the kicking side, got to pick up Jason Myers. He is very he's only owned in like 23% of Yahoo leagues. And, he got 1 field goal last week for that was over 40 yards, but he got 5 extra points. But this is a game where Seattle is going to be at home against New England. And they are going to be the New England defense could be a little bit tougher than what Atlanta put up last week. So that could mean some, you know, slowing down Russell Wilson a little bit and maybe opening up some kicking opportunities for Jason Myers. Unfortunately, the 12s are not going to be in the house, but let's hope that the air quality is cleaned up by then. It's still a nightmare out here on the West Coast. That's it, familia. That's all for our show. Look for us again later in the week on Thursday, where we're going to start our previews for the weekend. And make sure you're following us Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17, and definitely make sure you're checking out our content on our FamiliaFFB.com page. Again, gracias otra vez, and remember, todos somos familia.